Welcome to Fran Coach's Franchising 101 podcast series. Here we talk about all things franchising. What is it all about? Is it for you? How do you find the best one to own? And so much more. Now your host, Tim Parmeter.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to the latest edition of Fran Coach's Franchising 101 podcast. I am Tim Parmeter, founder and CEO of Fran Coach and your Franchising 101 host. Today, we are excited to have a guest with us for our In Their Words segment. And the In Their Words segment is really, honestly, not to diss everybody else that's been on, but this is my favorite segment because this is when we get to hear directly from Fran Coach clients who have now become franchise owners. We're going to pepper them with all sorts of questions, understand their background, what led them to start talking about or looking into franchise ownership, how they navigated the process with the Fran Coach team, what franchise they chose, how it's gone, and probably a million and one other things. Today's guest is a little different from most in that he was not a stranger to the world of franchising. He had been the national director of training and development for one of the largest food franchisors in the world. But after traveling around the whole sneaking country all the time to work with successful franchise owners, he realized it might be time to do that himself and become a successful franchise owner. The trick then became which franchise. Now, that ironically led him to the Franchising 101 podcast and to us. So very fun to be able to kind of make this connection and very, very glad to bring our guest on today, Mr. Dave Boddington. Dave, how are you today, sir?
I'm doing wonderful. How about yourself, Tim?
I'm doing great, Dave. It's a little struggle down here in Arizona. It's cold. It's like windy and 60 degrees. So I don't know how much sympathy I'm going to get from you up in Michigan, but it's the struggle's real this time of year, man. It's really hard, but we're doing our best. We're toughing it out. How about with you guys?
Well, you know, it's a little bit different up here. We have freezing rain coming down. My windshield wipers were stuck to my windshield when I walked out this morning. So it's a little bit colder than Arizona. We'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, I grown up just south of you in Indiana, then went to college in Missouri and kind of was in there for a while. In college, I remember the pizza box that we'd put over the windshield, in between the windshield and the windshield wiper to keep that from happening. So, and then you have to realize you got frozen pizza sauce on the window. So yeah, hang in there, brother. It's but so good to talk to you. We're sorry your significantly better half, Danielle, wasn't able to join us today, but it was just a joy getting to work with both of you guys throughout this process. And want to hear kind of all about your journey and you're teasing us with the logo for those of people that are watching this right now with what this is. So we'll get to that later. But first, give us a scoop on you, man. Give us a little on your kind of background and what led you to this point.
Sure. Okay. So myself personally, I most of my career was in the restaurant industry, you know, casual dining and quick service restaurant industry. About half of my career was in operations. And then after that, I got into training and did training for about the other half of my career there. Going back a little bit further, before I got more serious with restaurants, I did spend about 5 years working in a general contracting company, doing some estimating and also, you know, blueprint work, project management, and also a graduate from the University of Michigan. So I've got two beautiful children that are teenagers, and so it's a little bit harder to say beautiful now that they kind of, you know, are becoming their own person and are more difficult to parent. But also a beautiful wife, Danielle, just like you mentioned. And it was great having her work with me throughout this whole process because really we wanted this to become a family business.
Yeah, absolutely. Super cool. And I like you, I'm kind of partial to the female's name, Danielle, right? So that's a good one. And as any true University of Michigan alumni, you don't miss a chance to throw that out there with with the Wolverines. So, what got you? Obviously, you were in, and we're going to kind of leave them anonymous, but you were with a really big franchise for a long time. What got you to the point of thinking, like, maybe now this is my time?
Sure. So you alluded to it a little bit, Tim. Really, I think one of the things that finally made us take that leap was the pandemic. I had been traveling for probably about 10 years of my career now. We'll call it 10 years. So since my youngest was barely walking, I've been traveling 40 to 50% of the time. And, you know, this pandemic hit and my kids got to see what it was like for dad to be home all the time, you know, to tuck them in at night, to help them with their homework, not to be talking on FaceTime or on the phone with me, you know, while they're trying to get things done and continue life at home. And their voices just continued to get louder and louder about that as things got back to normal and I started traveling more and more again. And so I started to get more serious about figuring out what is it that I'm going to do about this? Am I going to do nothing about it? That's always a choice. Or am I going to find some way to be able to make money and not have to travel? And so, you know, obviously I looked internally where I was working, and being in the restaurant business, you know, the hours of operation aren't always very family friendly. You know, restaurants are open until 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night, and then there's closing work to do afterwards. And then you're up again the next morning. They're open 7 days a week. And one of the things that I had thought pretty hard about was, is the restaurant industry where I want to be if I want to own a business? And prior to that, did I want to own a business? You know, I looked at other places of employment and really found that the niche that I kind of developed as my profession, I was going to be traveling. So that was when it became apparent that I needed to be an owner of a business. And before meeting you, it was much more difficult. You know, I was going on websites, and you know, different business broker websites and looking at, you know, there's a dry cleaner and there's a party store. For those of you that are in the Midwest, that's what we call the convenience stores. You know, family diners and local bars that were for sale. And I thought, you know what, buying someone else's business and trying to figure it out is not for me. I'm a systems guy. I came from a large franchise and I decided that I wanted to purchase a franchise system because it's proven, maybe not in Michigan, maybe it is in Michigan, it's proven, but it's been proven by hopefully hundreds of other business owners. And that's when I really started to investigate franchises, more specifically, scouring the internet, searching on Spotify, which is where I found you and the Franchising 101 podcast. And so I started listening to your podcast just as someone who wanted to know more about franchises and what I should be looking for. And, you know, I think in almost every single one of them, probably in every one of them, you say, hey, if you're interested, give me a call. And I thought, well, you know, why not? Because at the end of the day, the way that I've been successful in my career has been to surround me with people that are smarter than me in areas that I need help. And one of the areas that I don't know much about, well, now I know a lot more because of your help, but was how to find a franchise in a different industry that would match up with what I was looking for. And so that's really what led me to call you.
No, awesome. And it is the vast majority of people we work with. And I know you heard me say this, but people start their franchise in an industry that they have little to no experience in, right? And by the time we talked, you guys had kind of already realized it was time to get out of the food genre, right? Yeah. But it's like more times than not, people haven't realized that yet. It would have been like I was probably kind of pleasantly surprised. You guys are like, yeah, no on the food, because that would have been a natural thing, because you've seen the success of all the owners in your system. But once people kind of get into it and realize in the corporate world, you get pigeonholed into the industry, right? And like you mentioned, you were going to be stuck in that industry. You were going to be stuck in a travel role. And the most important thing to you in all of this was your family and being able to spend time with them, right? And kind of get to this, right? So again, super cool. And I appreciate you sharing that. And so then now we connect, right? We start looking at franchise, we start building this out first, right? And then we introduce you guys to franchises. And if I was remotely prepared, I would already know this, but I feel like we started with four.
Yep,
four things, right? And I always think that's one of the times where I wish I could see faces on that, and I easily could do all of our process, like not over the phone, but I'm old, and so I like to just talk on the phone. But the potential for somebody to kind of roll their eyes, whatever. You and Daniel are sitting there. We're on the phone, so I can't see your face. What was your thought when we're like, okay, here's these four? Can you kind of think back to what was going through your minds and what like little notes you were writing back and forth at each other? Like, this dude's off his rocker. What's he thinking? What was going through your minds at that point?
Sure. So, one of the things that both of us agreed to before we called you was that we wanted to be open to the process and didn't want to shut anything down until we did some due diligence to make sure that it really wouldn't be an option, because shutting too much down before we even do some research and hear from you why you picked them to us really would have, I think, closed out some options and maybe caused us to land in the wrong spot. So, I do remember from our very first call where you were really interviewing us and asking us, what are the things you want out of a business? I remember at one point mentioning our dogs, because we have two Boston Terriers, and Danielle's obsession with them. And so it was no surprise when one of them had to do with pets. And so, right. So it wasn't a look over to roll our eyes at each other. It was a look over like, well, we know for sure that that probably was something that was going to come our way. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think there was any that really were a huge surprise, at least for us. Having listened to your show a few times, I kind of had an idea that it was going to be across the board, right?
Yeah. And they were right there. We had the pet one, the one you end up doing a senior care and then kind of a home service kind of remediation type of thing. And I think we got pretty quickly, two of them were kind of out, right. And then we narrowed down a little bit to two others. What's kind of maybe as you guys were looking at this and I always say franchise ownership in this process is incredibly individualized and personalized. What's best for you guys is not what's best for, might not be best for somebody that's listening right now. You mentioned the pet one I thought was interesting because I've actually used you guys as an example, and I'll share this how in a second on the pet one, but we got it down to two. Talk about some of the things that really differentiated those two to kind of lead you to where you guys are.
Sure, okay. There was quite a few things actually between the final two. The one that we went with required less staff, which was something that we really saw as a bonus. We would be able to scale a lot faster without having to manage a ton of employees. The other one, it was looking like we would have to have, right around 50 employees be running to find them right off the bat. And to continue to scale, possibly double to 100 employees. And so that was one of the things that we looked at there. Another one that we looked at was the one that we didn't choose required a brick and mortar. And I just really felt like it was a lot easier for us to scale if I didn't have to have that money being invested into brick and mortar, have that payment that was weighing us down. Now, for other people, they may want a place to go every day to work. You know, for those of you that are watching, we're in my home office right now.
Right.
And I'm totally fine with working here, have been for years. And so for me, not having the brick and mortar also gave us an opportunity to be able to absorb some of those personal expenses, writing off a home office. And so made it a little bit easier to do that transition as well.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. That's key. And I appreciate you bringing that up, because there are times we talk to people that just, they can't work from home, right? They feel like I need a place to go. Well, that's a key differentiator. You and I've been doing it forever. I don't want to go to an office. I don't really like people. So I don't want to see anybody be around them. Some people like building a bigger team. And there are times you have to kind of, that's part of the process. You have to kind of get in there to see, okay, here's big staff, here's small staff, here's this kind of staff, here's this kind, here's this place where we go to work, this, and compare and contrast. And you guys did an amazing job. And the pet one that we referenced, right, maybe almost, probably almost exactly when I was connecting you guys to the franchises, we had another couple that ended up signing a franchise agreement with that pet franchise. They're in the middle of doing four units of it. They loved the fact that it was a little newer and more emerging, and had a chance to have, you know, this whole big area and really dominate. That was great for them. For you guys, that was a little much. And I think one of the things that, and let's talk about the one you chose, was the, like, the huge amount of structure, the data, they've been in business for a long time. For you guys, that was really kind of a comfort zone. And again, it just, like, I can never stress this enough, there's not a one size fits all, right? So those were key things. And again, kudos to you guys for just keeping that open mind through the process. But let's open the curtain, right? The winner was, if I give you a little drum roll here, tell us the franchise that you chose. What is it?
Sure. So Danielle and I chose America's Swimming Pool Company, and they are based out of Macon, Georgia, and owned by Authority Brands, that actually owns several different service brands within the industry. And so America's Swimming Pool Company is responsible for maintaining, repairing, and renovating swimming pools. And I will say, at the beginning, I was a little bit more skeptical of getting into the swimming pool industry in Michigan because of the seasonality of it, but started to see very quickly that really regionally, pricing and the way that the model works really flexes into those different types of scenarios, right? It may be less to clean a pool in Florida because you're cleaning a small pool all the time versus a larger pool that's seasonal in Michigan. And after talking with some franchisees, that was one of the other things, Tim, was just the amount of support that I got along the way in the process, that structure that you talked about. It was not just that they had an answer and they had a structure and a system for everything that they did, but they were so fast with responses. Their franchisees, when I talked with them, they spent more time than we had blocked off for our calls. You know, I mean, we went 15, 20, 30 minutes over. We were emailing after the calls to each other. They were even looking at my numbers and telling me whether they thought they were realistic or not. And I could really tell that it was a family feel type of environment where everyone looks out for each other. And the franchisor is one that has solid systems that they've gone and vetted out over the time that they've been in business.
Yeah, absolutely. So you kind of did this, but let's pretend like we're at our first. This is a little test, so we'll see how you do on this. So, give us the what's your 30-second elevator pitch? America's Swimming Pool Company. You kind of mentioned, but like you're doing what's you're doing maintenance service? Can you build me a brand new pool? What all can you guys do and kind of who are those customers?
Absolutely. So America's Swimming Pool Company really has three different areas that they specialize in. One is pool service. So weekly pool service, that's cleaning your pools, maintaining your water chemistry. What I really loved was they have a piece of software called Pool Ops that allows you to communicate with the customer. And so after the pool is serviced, the customer gets an email that gives them a breakdown of that what their water chemistry was, how you corrected it with chemicals, and then also pictures of the clean pool, the clean filters, and an area to leave notes so that you can let your customers know if you maybe you hear a pump motor that is starting to go or something like that, just things for them to be aware of. The second part is repair. You get a lot of repairs from your weekly maintenance customers because you're already in their backyards. And so it could be replacing a pump. It could be replacing a sand filter, maybe a timer, or putting an automation board in so that you can have some cool water features and have a little light show in your pool. Mm-hmm. And then the third one is renovations. Most pools in the United States are over 20 years old right now. They're probably due for a renovation. Wow. So whether it's refinishing the tile or the plaster on the inside of the pool so it's not that old, ugly white plaster anymore, whether it's replacing the coping around the pool, or even getting more serious, drilling new light holes and putting some lights in, things like that. Those are really the three areas of specialty for ASP. And over the past few years, they've just really started to get some franchisees that have a great interest in installing swimming pools as well. And that's something that we plan on doing here in the Metro Detroit area is not only doing the renovations, but once we start to learn, you know, who those contacts are, we'll start dropping pools in the ground as well.
Awesome. Is Pima, Arizona in your service area? Can you get down for some of that? That would be awesome. So, and anybody that has a pool will tell you very quickly, like it's not always easy to find, and probably anything in the home service, reliable professional people that can come do this, right? To have something where you're going to be able to follow up with actually what you did, right? Rather than you and I may have talked about this. In my last house, we were at a pool, literally one day saw the kid come in the back, had his scooper, took a couple, like he didn't even take a picture. He looked at his phone, pulled up some pictures from the past, sent them to me as if he did it, and then left, right? Pool company here at this house, and there's security cameras in the back, like said they came two different times. And I'm like, do you want me to pull up security footage? And they're like, okay, well, we won't charge you. Like, just be like reliable, professional. And then with that, take what you guys have been able to do, take that to a whole nother level of professionalism with this. And then all the different services, kind of whatever somebody wants. I love that. And then part of the seasonality, some people think seasonality is bad. Some people look at it and go, well, that's great. It's not like you're still going to be selling and marketing when that white stuff's hit the ground. But it's not just residential, right? You can tap into, from a commercial standpoint, on all of those things as well, correct?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there are some, not a ton in Michigan, but there are some indoor residential pools. But there's, you know, all kinds of indoor commercial pools, you know, whether it's specific cities or townships that have a rec center. I know some franchisees that have relationships with different hotel chains in the area where they maintain those pools, and also spas. You know, we do spas too. A lot of people have a spa inside. And so, you know, that could be something that we're going in to replace a pump motor or something like that as well. And even though the swimming pool season where you're swimming in the pool might be in Michigan sometime in May through probably September, you still have opening and closing. And so opening pools and closing pools, winterizing them, that's what closing is. And then also all those renovations, they ideally would be happening when it's not pool season, right? You would want to be doing that when you're not wishing you were swimming in your pool. So we'll look at kind of capping the two ends there. And to the seasonality thing, Tim, I don't mind taking a month off in December to spend with my family as well and just handling marketing. So,
right. Which again was for you guys. And I think for a lot of people, the lifestyle, right, is the pandemic had a weird effect on this piece of it is for everybody that thought, oh, let me work remote pre-pandemic, right? Every company in the United States, we couldn't possibly let you work remotely. Things won't get done. We've never done it. All the lame excuses that are out there. Pandemic hits, they don't have any choice. And I think for you and so many people that we work with, you got a little taste of freedom, right? And like, hey, I can still be productive and do my job sitting right there in that home office, right? And in fact, I just saw an article about this today, like the pull back to the office is still, it's kind of been a push pull, but it's driving people crazy, right? And again, that freedom, that flexibility, seeing your kids, right? They're getting older, but they're still, you know, they're still at the age where you don't mind being around them some when they peek out of their bedrooms or whatever, right? Seeing your wife, right? We're making sure she still likes you, all of those things, and being able to be successful running a business. It's huge. And so that lifestyle piece, that seasonality, but you mentioned the spas up there. I totally forgot. That didn't even dawn on me. And again, I'm spoiled. I live in the South, but the indoor pools in a place where you are in Michigan is going to be common. In Arizona, like you can't, I don't know that you could find a hotel in Phoenix that's going to have an indoor pool, right? So because you don't need it, right? But again, still being able to kind of stretch that out. And yes, it's seasonal, but my guess is you're going to find you don't have much of a lull come next December, right? But certainly more so than you did working in the food industry or anything like that, for sure, right? So very cool. And I do want to mention, I got one more thing I want to ask you about, but we had the team from America's Swimming Pool on episode 81, and I'm sure everybody listening is a loyal listener. They've listened to every episode 3 or 4 times already, but in case you missed it, we had Roger Ewart from ASP on last month to kind of go into more in depth on this. But you taught me two things right there that I didn't even know that he left out. So very, very cool. And so you guys are in kind of all the pre-training now, headed to training here in a couple of weeks and launching here shortly. So kind of maybe give everybody, sometimes people think, oh, I signed a franchise agreement and then, you know, good luck, or it's instantaneous. You've been pretty busy these last few weeks getting everything ramped up just to be able to go to training. What's that process been like for you?
Sure. So it's a pretty busy process. I'm just finishing up with my current full-time job. My last day is in about a week here. And so it's like been having two jobs during this time. We signed the franchise agreement at the end of January, and that's when the checklists started coming from ASP, right? So I've got the checklist of everything I need to do from a business perspective, the licensing that has to happen, the business outfitting that has to happen, you know, everything from wrapping my truck with the cool ASP truck wrap to ordering uniforms and obtaining liability insurance and all those kinds of things, to going back to school literally and learning everything, right? Now, at the end of the day, any business owner, you really don't want to get pigeonholed into being the doer, but you sure as heck better understand everything that needs to happen with that business and how your employees are executing. And so, you know, I've probably gotten 100 videos that I've got to watch from 5 minutes all the way to an hour long a piece. And so hours and hours of video, I'm about 30% through that. They sent me a couple of other books that they wanted me to read. And, you know, that's outside of Recruiting, I'm in the process of finalizing our first employee. Nice. One of the things that Stuart Vernon, the founder, mentioned when I went down to meet the team, I asked him, I said, what would you do to be successful? And he said, well, your marketing is going to hit and your phone's going to ring and you need to be able to get to every customer. He said, so if you hire that second person, you get that second truck on the road right away, you're going to be able to absorb double the amount of what your marketing effort is. And so working through all of those processes, you know, finalizing the employee handbook, working with a CPA, really to get all of the accounts and structure in place, that I could go on and on. So signing the contract is just the beginning. And then you've got this mountain to climb, right? But yeah, the rewards are everything that you want and more at the end. That's why you're climbing it. And yeah, you've got to climb that mountain, do all the checklist items, get it all checked off, set up your business, and then you've got to execute. You know, yeah, that's the final piece. And we'll be open for business at the end of March here after we get back from pool school.
It's awesome. And I always tell people that the actual in-person training for a franchise week, 10 days, whatever that is, I think that's the easy part. The actual hard work is everything that you're doing leading up to. And with ASP, I'm sure there are checklists for the checklist that maybe leads you to another checklist, right? Again, how thorough and organized everything is. The other thing I wanted to point out about you guys, because you and Danielle are both working. You've got two kids, 12 and 14. That's off the top of my head. Is that right? Yeah. The ballpark, right? Correct. So, and they're like every kid that age, right? They got a bigger social calendar than like we do as adults, right? With everything that they're doing. So you're working full time. You got the kids. You're going through this process, which is, you know, there's a lot to it. But you guys also both got, and I think the kids too, you and Daniel both had COVID during this. And there were a couple of times we were on the phone and I'm like, will you guys please get off the phone? Like, I thought I was going to get, because you guys sounded like death and were not at all deterred by anything and kept going through the process. And I'm telling you what, like the amount of excuses people can find to not kind of like do something. I like kudos to you guys for just that determination. And this is the process. This is what we're determined to do and work through there. So if you can deal with everything you were dealing with, and that was around the holidays, right? Like what, all we needed was locust was about the only thing missing for you guys, I think, right along those times, and just kept going. So I can't thank you enough. And everybody out there that wants to like, I got a hangnail, I got to reschedule the call, right? You know, toughen up, buttercup. So awesome job. And I know that with the toughness was really Danielle and not you, and she was dragging you along, but that was, I just, and you don't have to respond to that. I just wanted to point that out because again, it's why I know you guys are going to be rock star owners with this. Again, just following the process and again, finding a way to, we have an internal expression or acronym with Team Francoach. It's FSO, which is figure blank out, right? As a business owner, you gotta FSO it, and you guys did it through the process. So kudos to you guys. Any last thing, again, I know you're super busy and thank you so much for coming on board and talking to us today, but anything you would like to share, somebody listening, like Dave and Danielle a few months ago, you're listening, you're like, there's gotta be a better way than what I'm doing now. Anything you'd like to share with somebody who's maybe considering going down the same path you guys have gone down?
Sure. I guess the first thing that I would say, if I was giving anyone advice, is find someone to help you through the process, because you know, if you're just looking for a franchise on your own, you may not know the right questions to ask. You may not understand the process fully, and that may end up with a result that you really don't want. So I was really thankful, one, Tim, to have you as someone who could help us through that process. And then I guess number two, one of the things that I believe is really important is being able to be open-minded. What you're used to as an employee is going to be different than what you get as an owner. And I can distinctly remember one call that I had with you, Tim, where you had to talk me off the ledge. I remember saying, Tim, I make this much money per year, and these owners are telling me that they make this, and that's not going to work. And you said, Dave, you need to step back because you're looking at it from an employee collecting a paycheck. You're going to make money differently. And when I sat down and I really looked at the numbers and the different ways that I was going to be able to compensate myself, not just with a paycheck, but also some of the bills that now were going to become business expenses, it was really easy to see that it was very doable. And so that's one of the things that I would give advice about is, I think, was it Robert Kiyosaki says that the most addictive drug in America is a paycheck, because we start getting them when we're 14 or 15 years old, and we used to getting that every single week. Yep. And, you know, getting used to not getting compensated, not getting paid that way anymore, and finding a different way is something that I would say is probably very new for most people getting into the business world. And so being able to wrap your mind around that early, I think would help.
Yeah, no, it is. And it's funny. And not to tease it, it's an upcoming podcast episode we're going to do just on that. And actually, based on that conversation, we've got some like kind of internal additional resources we're creating just for that to help, because to make it a little bit more visual, because it's a huge difference. And if nothing else, the shirt you're wearing that says ASP and the one I'm wearing says Franchising 101 Podcast, Dave didn't buy the blue shirt, Tim didn't buy the black shirt, right? And again, it's a simple little thing, but those things add up. And I won't go into more detail, or my CPA will come smack me on this stuff. But it really, I'm glad you brought that up, because that was one thing I was wanted to talk about was that call, because that was, I could actually hear your eyes open, right, with that. And it's just a different mindset. And it's why I always go back to the most important thing with all this is an open mind, because this is a different process. So I can't thank you guys. Like, if I could clone the two of you, that would be awesome. And thank you for that. And I know you guys are going to be enormously successful. So America Swimming Pool Company, and you're anybody in the Detroit area or Detroit, just anywhere in Michigan, call Dave, basically, right? And we'll get that situated. So, Dave, thank you, brother, for coming on to join us today. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, Tim.
So, and for all of our loyal podcast listeners, not unlike Dave, we hope this series continues to provide insight into the amazing possibilities that can be achieved with franchise ownership and the process in which to find them. Please feel free to subscribe to our podcast wherever you check them out if you haven't already, and reach out to us online. Francoach.net is our main site. If you too would like to learn about becoming a franchise owner, never any fee for our service. So reach out, schedule that call, take that first step today to help create your better tomorrow. Thanks everybody for joining us, and have a fantastic rest of your day.
Thanks for listening to Francoach's Franchising 101 podcast, where our ultimate goal is to help educate you on all things franchising so you can create your better tomorrow.